The fourth chapter of Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 4. The last time we were in Ephesians, we were looking at anger in verse number 27, and that's where we'll land again tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27. But before we read verse 27, look up just a couple of verses. Let's go up to verse number 22 in order to get the context of what he's telling us in verse 27. Verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 4, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now jumping down to 26. And be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture as you describe to us what the new man looks like. And Father, as we consider these simple thoughts tonight, help us as we apply it as needed through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might be indeed conformed into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time we were here, we looked at the command to be angry, and we saw several reasons why God commanded us to be angry. And that whole idea, that whole concept, seems to be contradictory to the common thoughts of what a Christian is. They think a Christian should always be passive and should never grow angry over anything. And we find that that is just not the case. Here God commands us to be angry in certain circumstances, and we looked at those. And so that was the command. But with the command also comes a caution. And that's what we'll look at tonight, a caution. You see, there's no justification if we, and I regret that it's been separated by so many weeks, but there's no justification to remain angry if our anger is directed at the sin and not directed at the person. You see, if we have the anger at the sin, that sin, or that anger will dissolve in a very brief period of time. But if it's directed at the person, then it will do exactly as it's described in this verse, and it will become wrath. And so there's a caution, and the caution is found in the words, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." In other words, God is telling us to deal with it. And so we're going to look at three things regarding this caution. The first is just simply, seek resolution speedily. And so here we have a command to resolve our anger. And as we see, as I just read, that we're commanded to let not the sun go down. In other words, if you get angry about this time of night, you got a very short period of time to get things settled. He doesn't want that anger to fester. Notice the change in the wording. In the beginning of verse 26, it says, "Be ye angry." But now here with the caution, he says, "Let not the sun go down upon your..." He doesn't say anger, does he? He says wrath. And what he's describing for us and explaining for us is the nature of anger. If we don't take care of it, if we don't nip it in the bud, if we don't resolve it, then that anger grows into something much more dreadful, much more horrid than just anger, but it's wrath. And so God tells us, don't sit around on your hands, but seek that resolution speedily. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You see, when Jesus was giving to us what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, he addressed this very issue, although he put it in different words. In Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 21. We'll start there. Matthew chapter 5, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Therefore, notice this, talking about anger. In verse 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar..." Now, bringing the gift to the altar was a good thing. Bringing the gift to the altar was worshiping God and was going to church. And he says, if you get to church and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Now, notice the wording. He doesn't say if you go to church and you remember that you got mad at somebody over something they did to you. That's not what he's saying. He's saying if you get to church to worship me and it crosses your mind that you did something to offend someone else, and you made someone else mad, he says, here's what you're supposed to do. Verse number 24. He says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. In other words, what he's telling us in this caution is seek resolution speedily. He says, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, seek resolution before the sun sets. But now he's telling us to seek resolution before you come before him in worship. Now, there's a chance that this gift on the altar is that being given for sin, because he's still under the Mosaic system, the sacrificial system. And that gift may be given as the atonement for one sin. It may be a sin offering. And God says, don't offer that sin offering with me until you go resolve the situation with your brother. Be reconciled to your brother before you get reconciled with me. Now think about what God is saying here. Because we take offending our brother so lightly and we don't think it's that serious, and we focus on our relationship with God, and God says, don't do that. In fact, if you read through the book of 1 John, you see over and over again, he warns us about hating our brother and yet claiming to love God. He says, you can't love God if you hate your brother. And it's interesting throughout the scriptures how God is so interested in our relationships one with another, if we're to have a right relationship with him. And so he warns us to seek resolution speedily. Don't let it fester. Don't let it grow into wrath. If someone angers you or you anger another, you're supposed to do something about it. And that brings us to our second point, and that's to seek resolution scripturally. Seek resolution scripturally. And this is instruction on how to resolve anger. Instruction on how to resolve anger. And so turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 17. He gives us some instruction here on what to do if one offends. You probably find it faster if you look in chapter 18 of Matthew, not chapter 17. On how to resolve anger. Now, we usually turn to this scripture beginning in verse number 15 in regards to church discipline, and certainly that's what our instruction is. But it also deals with anger and how to resolve issues that we have with one another. The first one is key, and yet the first one is generally ignored in our Christian circles today. This is almost never done. And I've talked to people that have had problems with other people, and they entirely skip this first thing they're supposed to do. In fact, not only do they skip this first point, but they refuse to do it. This is God's instruction. Notice what it says in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, in other words, he's done the problem, or he's caused the infraction, which then will stir up a little bit of anger in us. He says, here's what you do. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him. What's that next word? Alone. It doesn't say go talk to your mother. It doesn't say go talk to your friend at work. It used to drive me crazy when I worked in the print shop in Grand Rapids. And I worked pretty closely with one lady. I had to assist her in the job that she was doing. And she would just drone on and on about her husband and what he did and how he made her mad. And on she'd go. And looking for sympathy from me. And I never gave her sympathy. I just told her, well, that's just the way us guys are. Or something along that line. She finally learned. But the point is, why didn't she go to him and talk to him about it? Maybe she could have resolved some of these issues and some of these problems they had. So rarely do we go to that person who's offended us before we go to other people and start spreading on around what they said or what they did. Because you tell that one person, then what does that one person do? That one person goes and tells two more, and those two go and tell four more, and those four go and tell who knows how many. And before you know it, before you can get to that person to talk to them by themselves, they already have heard it through the grapevine. And now their anger has grown and multiplied towards you because now you've committed an infraction to go on top of their infraction, and resolution becomes very difficult. But notice what he says in the last phrase of this verse, verse number 15 of Matthew 18. He says, "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." You see, what he's doing when he tells us that is he's telling us what our goal should be. And we know this is always the goal in church discipline. It's always to gain our brother or to restore an erring brother. When it becomes just a personal issue, we're supposed to try to seek resolution. We're trying to solve the problem. We're trying to keep the friendship intact. It's not just to get even. And we'll deal with that in just a little while. But we need to remember the goal of seeking resolution speedily. That goal is to seek resolution, not just to do it because this is what God told me I have to do. And so we go through it half-hearted and wind up being pleased when they don't hear us. Because now we're justified because we did what we were supposed to have done. That should never be our mindset. Our mindset should always be, this is a friend, they did something that angered me or offended me, let's work this out so we can remain friends. That's our goal. But of course, we know not everyone hears, but the first step to scriptural resolution of anger or any interpersonal problem is individual confrontation. If that doesn't resolve it, then comes group confrontation in verse number 16. "But if we will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." In other words, take a mediator. Because maybe they can make a pretty strong case. You notice he doesn't say anything about gaining the brother. He's talking about having every word established. What is he saying? He says, let's get to the truth of the matter. Because maybe what they said that offended us was a reaction to something we said or did that caused them to lash out in anger. And so if we take someone that is an uninterested party or disinterested, and what I mean by that doesn't mean they don't take an interest in getting things resolved, but they don't have anything to lose or gain, however it works out. They're a third party that can hear both sides and try to determine who actually needs to apologize. And so there needs to be a group confrontation. Not going and blabbing it everywhere, but some trusted individuals that you know can keep the confidence. And again, the idea still is to gain the brother. It's always throughout this entire process to find resolution. But sometimes when someone offends us, we don't realize that we also have offended them. And so we need that third person there to mediate and to officiate sometimes the conversation so that both individuals have an opportunity to say, this is how I felt when you did that or when you said that, so that the truth can come out and resolution can become possible. Now, if the individual is still hard-headed about it, unwilling to work it out, then comes public confrontation, and only then does it become public if we're going to follow the Scriptures. We still haven't blabbed it to the person we work with or to family members and anyone who will listen. Not until we get to verse number 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And so what we find here is the authority of the local church, that God has placed us as a church family to act as judge and jury in these situations. The sides are to be presented, the witnesses that went under step number two are to present their testimony, and then the church is to determine what to do about it. This is how to scripturally seek resolution to our anger issues. It begins with individual confrontation. And when I say confrontation, the intent is not that we have words with that person, we give them a piece of our mind. It's certainly not a reference to that, but it's just confront them with how you felt when they said or did whatever they did to cause or bring about the anger. Individual confrontation is so often, as I said, neglected, and yet that's the first step you need to take if you're going to scripturally find resolution. And so we've seen that we need to seek resolution speedily. We've seen we need to seek resolution scripturally. Let's look thirdly at seeking resolution seriously. It's not something to do half-heartedly. It's not something to do only because that's what we've been told we need to do, but we're to seek it seriously. Why should you resolve the anger issues? Well, we've got six things here. Let's turn first to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Sometimes it helps us to do things we don't want to do if we have the proper motivation. And so throughout Scripture, God gives us these six motivations to resolve the anger that we have towards other people when we have it unwarranted. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8, we read these words. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Remember, if we harbor the anger, it becomes wrath. It will grow into that. And God says if you're going to pray, it has to be, in order to be effective prayer, it has to be prayer absent of wrath. It has to be from a heart and a mind absent of wrath. And so what we find here is that if we harbor this anger, it will hinder our prayer life. Now, how many of you want God to answer your prayers? We would all say, well, I certainly do. We want God to hear our needs and we want God to provide our needs. But what God is saying, if you harbor anger towards another individual, then, and if you leave it unresolved, it's going to hinder that prayer life. And God then says, I just won't answer your prayers until you resolve that. Remember what we looked at earlier in Matthew chapter 5 about seeking resolution speedily? God says, don't seek reconciliation with me until you've sought reconciliation with your brother who you've offended or has offended you. And so it'll hinder your prayer life. That ought to be enough motivation right there to deal with any anger problems you may have. But it goes deeper than that. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we find a second motivation to resolve our anger. We need to seek this resolution seriously because it has terrible consequences. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And we could dwell on this verse for a long time, especially in regards to anger. Because when you get angry, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to be the one talking. You want them to listen to you. And you don't want to hear what they have to say. That's just the nature of anger. And God says, hold your horses. He says, you just shut your yap, okay, to put it one way. He says, you just listen what they have to say. Not easy, but you can do it. You see, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And the Holy Spirit will allow you to do that and just listen to what they have to say. And not just be quiet until they're done so that you can have your turn, but to listen. He says, swift to hear. Hear what they're saying. Understand and seek to understand what they're saying. It's never wrong when they're expressing their grievances to say, now, let me be sure I understand what you're saying. Do you mean such and so? And then let them explain. Know exactly. That's what hearing is all about, communicating. And if you're not certain what they're trying to communicate, then you haven't heard. But God says, be swift to hear. Be slow to speak, slow to wrath. For, now here's our consequence in verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger will hinder your personal holiness. You cannot be conformed into the image of God. You cannot display His righteousness while you have anger issues. God said it's just not possible. And so to me, that's a motivation, because I want to be like Christ. I want to display His righteousness to the world that I come in contact with. But how can I do that if I'm angry about this and that and the other thing, and I don't ever resolve those issues? Turn back to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at a third consequence. Romans chapter 12, verse number 19. This is a difficult verse when the situation arises, and yet here it is in the Word of God. We go back to the Old Testament from which it's quoted, but we'll just stay here. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Isn't that what you want to do when you get angry at someone? You want to get even? That's the way we call it. God says, or He uses the word avenge. He just means get even. He says, don't get even yourselves. For it is, he says, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, step aside and let God take care of it. He says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so we understand that if we harbor this anger and this get even spirit, it's going to hinder our reliance on God. Now, when I say reliance on God, I'm just talking about living by faith. Doesn't the Bible say four different times, the just shall live by faith? But if we're constantly growing angry and seeking to get even with other people, God says you're not living by faith. We have to trust God that He will get even, that He will bring His vengeance on those that have unjustly given us issues, given us problems. The problem is we don't always see Him doing it. It's not always on public display. Sometimes it's an inner issue in their lives that we don't even know about. And so it's hard to just sit back and allow God to have His vengeance without trying to get even. I've heard it so many times, that if God was still on the throne, He would get these people. He'd strike them dead. I've heard people say that. But that's not living by faith. What is our responsibility to those that have angered us? Look in the next verse. I'm glad you asked, he tells us. He says, therefore, if thine enemy, notice that word enemy, not friend, but enemy, hunger, what are we supposed to do? Laugh at him? Taunt him? I remember when we took our dog, just after we got her, down to Anna and Ray's house, and they have a dog, and his dad has a dog, and his dad was there. That was when Chloe was born. And so all three dogs were there, and we gave our dog a doggy bone. And it was so funny because our dog was taunting the other two dogs because she knew they weren't allowed to have it. Because as soon as they saw it, they went after it, and their owners made them stop and get back. And so she'd push it towards them. As soon as they start to go for it, she'd snatch it back. And that's just the way it was. She was taunting them. If they hunger, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to feed them. If he thirsts, What are we supposed to do? Give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, here's a key in verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, when someone comes into your path that makes you angry, the devil will use them as his tool. Now, they may be saved or they may be lost. It's all irrelevant. If they do something that constantly makes you angry, the devil is going to use that so that you want to get even, and you'll have then become overcome of evil because you want to be like them and act like them. God says, don't be like that. Let me take care of it. You see, anger hinders our reliance on God. That's three reasons why to resolve our anger. It hinders prayer, it hinders holiness, it hinders reliance on God. The last three are all found in the book of Proverbs. So turn back to Proverbs, if you would. First of all, chapter number 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 11. The Bible has a lot to say about anger. We're certainly not exhausting the subject this evening. But I do want to get across the point that we need to seek resolution seriously because of the consequences of not doing so. In Proverbs chapter 19, let's look at verse number 11. He says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." What God is saying there is you don't have to get angry. They may have some words for you that aren't very kind or pleasant. They may do some things that certainly aren't very friendly or kind. But God says it's your choice how you react. He says you don't have to grow angry. You can still be gracious toward them. You can still be kind toward them. You can still treat them as a friend, as we just saw in Romans chapter 12. If they hunger, feed them. If they thirst, give them something to drink. He says, that's your choice. He says, that's your discretion. He says, that's your glory. You see, if you grow angry and you have a reputation for anger, it will hinder your testimony. And then another individual that you may work with or that you may be around who sees you grow angry that is lost and you try to share the gospel, they're not going to listen. They're going to say, look, you don't act much like a Christian. Why would I want what you say you have? I want what's real. And so, terrible consequence that some souls may be in hell because Christians did not resolve their anger issues. Think about that. If you grew angry and someone refused to accept Christ as a result of that, I don't want my testimony hindered in that fashion. All right, let's look at our fifth motivation in chapter 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, verse 24. The Bible advises us, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Now, this is a command for Christians and godly people that if you have someone who's a friend who has anger issues, God is advising you to part ways, to break the friendship with that individual because you will turn out to be like them, and it's not worth it. But if you're that angry person, here's the consequence. Anger will cost you friends. Anger will cost you friends. It's hard to find good friends in this world. And every friend you have, you should treasure. Don't have a behavior system that will cause you to lose friends. Have you known people that aren't happy unless they're mad? I've known people like that. They drive me crazy. And I have parted ways with them. And so anger will cost friends. All right, let's look in 29. That's five of our six motivations. Chapter 29 of Proverbs. Let's look at our sixth motivation to resolve our anger. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, And a furious man, notice these next words, aboundeth in transgression. Back in Ephesians, we're commanded to be angry and sin not. And too often we have the temptation to justify our anger and say, well, this is righteous anger. This is justified. It's all right in God's eyes. But what we don't realize is if we continue to justify our anger, what happens is that sin then abounds in our lives and our relationship with God is separated. And we don't realize how far we've gotten from God. And then we begin to look for answers, whatever happened, and we don't normally point the finger at our anger issues. Anger breeds sin. Anger breeds sin. And so God gives us plenty of motivation to seek resolution seriously, to get it out of our lives. And if it does happen, and as it happens to all of us, we all have this emotion. In a fallen vessel, redeemed by the blood of Christ, yet still dealing with that old nature. And so we all have times where we're tempted to anger. God says resolve it. Resolve it speedily, resolve it scripturally, and resolve it seriously. Because it has serious consequences if you don't. Father, we thank you for your word and the practical nature of it. Father, you've created us with this emotion of anger. Father, if we're honest, we would all admit that we're susceptible to it. But Father, help us to learn from your word tonight, to resolve these emotions and put them under the control of the Holy Spirit so that our anger would be for the right cause and for the right reasons and therefore absent from sin. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.